5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. It is Thursday night again, and it seems like it was only Thursday night a week ago in many ways. So, hey, it is episode 64 of the new Panic Room, 9:30 Central, because I'm in Texas and, you know, pretty much the center of the universe as far as I understand it. So, hey, yeah, I think there's a show. I've no idea, to be honest with you. I just turn up at sort of 9:10 and put my headphones on, or cans as we call them in the biz, and sort of just waffle for an hour and a half. So I've no idea what's going on, but if it wasn't for my trusty sidekick Xtina, I would be clueless. I would be clueless. And speaking of which, well, hello, trusty sidekick. How are you?
I am good. I am really good.
Yeah, it's funny. People think I'm joking, but I really don't have a clue. I just sort of, you do everything. You organize the guests and all the whatnot, and I just sort of jump in.
That's very true. As a matter of fact, I didn't even get you the information for the guests until, like, this afternoon, and you didn't even say anything. You know, I thought for sure you'd be like, hey, where's this stuff? No,
it's because I haven't read it yet. I sort of read it just before.
And I've been, a whole week preparing for this. And you just get here and, hey, what's going on?
Because I have you.
Oh, okay.
You are the well-oiled part of this machine, and it works very well, it's like Einstein, he always said, don't memorize what you can write down, because what's the point, there's no point.
Which reminds
me
of
I'm lazy.
Yeah, a conversation we just had where you told me that I needed to start writing down everything, which could not be, that's very true. I forget things.
Yeah, but you don't remember anything. That's the thing.
I don't.
I tell you something, and then like a week later, have you done, well, you didn't mention that. Yes, I did. And here's the message that proves it. Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So, but in my defense, if you don't say write this down,
write it down. Speaking of writing down. Oh, dear me. I tell you what, we've not had Bill Cosby on for a while. Let's have Bill.
Have on tonight is wonderful. You make me feel young again. you make me feel very... excited.
Spanish Fly was the thing.
Took
a little
drop.
And you put
it in
a drink.
Coca-Cola. Don't matter.
It doesn't make it. And the girl would drink it. And
she sure.
Hello, America.
I think in the light of the Harvey Weinstein, or however it's pronounced, scandal that's hit this week, that was quite fitting, don't you? It's kind of bizarre because that has sort of hit the news at pretty much exactly the same time as my son's band teacher, high school band teacher, being arrested for impropriety with a student. He was removed from his post, and then he was actually arrested and did couple of days in jail and bailed out this week. Can't these people keep it in your trousers, people? Seriously. Unless you're having a wee, obviously. what is it? It makes you think, do they get themselves into positions of power or positions where they expose themselves to young people. Do they get into that position and then take advantage, like Harvey? I mean, yeah, I can't imagine.
He molded his entire career just so he could
proposition young actresses. I think they get into a position of power where but literally he could make or break somebody's career, and it makes you wonder just how many actually slept with him and sort of got their careers made. They look at everybody who worked with him, every actress that worked with him who's doing well, think, Judi Dench, for example, did she? Dame Judy. So I don't know, I think the ripples are going to be pretty, pretty widespread. I think looking at it, there's going to be a lot of people caught in the fallout on that one. But
the way you never know what's going on the show, I never know what's going on the real world. So this is the time where we catch up. I tell you what's happening on the show, and you tell me about world events, because I could have been in the equivalent of like a fallout shelter this week. I've been working, from sunup, not sunup, because I don't get up that early, but
from lunchtime, from the crack of lunchtime.
Exactly.
Well, funny enough, I'm up before sunup. I'm up 5:30. I have to get up to get the eldest off to school. I think I've said before, we have one of those pygmy hedgehog things, little albino pygmy hedgehog guy. We call him Dave. It's actually named after, you know, he's actually named after a comedian, an English comedian we were fans of, called Dave Spikey. So he's actually, his full name is Dave Spikey, obviously. And some mornings I'm up and he's still up. And he just looks at me like, what the, what are you doing up, Patty? What's going on? You know, it's like, he just looks at me like I'm shit, you know, because that's like his time. You know, as soon as the house goes quiet and it's dark, you know, you can hear him on his little wheel scurrying around. There should be a law again. Everybody should have one. And there should be a law. You are not allowed to get out of bed until the hedgehog goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And that would work.
No, I wake up with the alarm to get the kid up for school, and I pretty much shout for him to, you know, get up, and that's it. I go back to sleep until, you know, I'm not going to say noon, because I do get up before noon, but not too, you know, maybe, I don't know. I've been trying to shoot for like 10. 10's pretty good, right? That's not too bad. 10 is, it's early for me. When you first met me, I got up at like 10.
I have been awake for nearly 5 hours. By the time you drag your sorry ass out of bed, you should be ashamed of yourself. Shame. How could you?
Speaking of being ashamed, no, I'm not ashamed of this, but I watched that stupid movie you told me to watch last week, the Autopsy of Jane Doe, and scared myself silly.
I was cursing
your name and everything.
What did you think? I mean, you know, okay, if you scared the willies out of you, then it did its job. I mean, it was obviously a good film.
It was an excellent, excellent movie. I love the acting. It was very creepy. I can't say anything bad about it except for the fact that it scared the crap out of me. You know, and I did spend a lot of time, you know, cursing you because I was alone and I had my laptop in my lap, so it was like really close to me and I couldn't see anything but the screen. So of course, it was pretty creepy. It really was. And that one scene with they were trying to shut the elevator door and that part scared the crap out of me. Oh my God, I thought I was going to die. I did. But it was good.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
I mean, obviously, not going to spoil it for people. But the whole premise was fresh. It was, I mean, Brian Cox. I'm a big, big fan of Brian Cox. The original Hannibal Lecter, don't you know? You didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't.
And the first film they ever made of any Thomas Harris books was called Manhunter, which was based on Red Dragon, which was the precursor to Silence of the Lambs. Brian Cox played Hannibal Lecter. Great British actor. I mean, it was just, to say through most of the film, it was just the two guys. It was electric. It was just like, and then, you know, with the when they hit you with the twist and that, and it's like, wow, you know. I mean, everybody, right? I mean, even Stephen King said it scared the crap out of him, you know. And I knew you would like it. I knew it would scare you, and I knew you would like it.
It did. And I did love the idea. I really did. And the whole thing, it was great. It really was.
It's nice to see something different than Ed and Lorraine Warren or, you know, some machete-wielding maniac running around chopping chunks out of bikini-clad women. Not that I've anything against bikini-clad women at all.
We'll leave that one
out, I think, in the light of recent events. Moving on. You know, it's nice to see something. I mean, it hit me the same as Hellraiser hit me when I watched that very first time in 1987. I think I said with Hellraiser, I watched it back in the old days, rewound the VHS tape in my top loader, and watched it again, my top loader from Radio Rentals. Like 1999.
I used to do that with Lost Boys.
It was just beautifully different, you know, and I enjoyed that. So there you go. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. There you go. So
I did.
Xtina's movie recommendation of the week is The Autopsy of Jane Doe. And next week will be. You have to watch Yellow Brick Road next week.
Yeah, you told me that.
Because that is a brilliant, brilliant film. It's not so much scary. It will disturb you. It will stick in your mind, and it will disturb the crap out of you. I promise.
I don't know if I need any more disturbing, though. But
yeah,
I definitely
do.
Yeah.
So, speaking of disturbing things, he said, what a smooth segue, as per. What's going on? What's going on tonight? Have we got anything going on?
I'm actually really, really excited. We have Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross. They're from Thorne and Cross Haunted Nights Live.
I know. Alistair's been on before again. Should know better, Alistair, if you're listening. You really should know better. What is your problem?
I think he likes us.
Okay, well, we like him. He's a great guest. It's always nice to get returning guests because it sort of means that we're not shit, really. We don't scare them. We don't scare them too much.
No, not too much.
No.
Just the right amount that, you know, they should be.
So we've got the reviewer chick. Can't remember her name. We've got her coming on, I presume.
Becky.
She's so gonna be going for me now.
That reviewer.
Love you,
chick.
Becky.
Yeah, I would too, though.
We love you.
You love we to love say those you. Things before you have, you know, actually push the button and let us talk.
I'm not brave enough to say it when she's on there now because she shouts at me. I'm a delicate little flirt. Do you know? I'm sorry. I fiddle with things while I'm on the air. And I've picked a scab off a zit on my back and it's bleeding like a bastard. So if I feel faint, it's because I've died of blood loss on the air. So there you go.
Why are you sharing that with us?
Why what?
Yeah, why are you sharing that with us? That's kind of, I don't know if we needed to know
Because we're family, I feel.
Oh, okay.
You know, I can share that with you, share that with our listeners, our listener, bless him. And, plus as well, if I just suddenly fade away on there, you know what it is. Poor old lad's bled to death. You know, it's...
Oh, dear. It's going to be a fun night.
Now, probably a bad time to find out if I'm a haemophiliac or not, probably. But, it's like when they put the strobe lights on in some of the kids' movies, you know, just to pick out the epileptics.
Oh my God. I'm not even gonna dignify that.
I don't think I dignified it really. So hey, what was going on? Yeah, here we go. We have Alistair and Tamara.
I think it's Tamara, but I'm not 100% sure.
Don't contradict me. All right, don't. Okay. Just remember who has the buttons at this end. It's not you. There was a great... this is a true story, and if her name's Tamara or whatever... back in England, a good friend of mine, and I can't remember why we were hanging around a kiddie's playground... probably because the kids were playing, and probably the equivalent is trailer trash here, but we call them chavs in England. They're sort of the rough cig end hanging out the mouth, rough as fuck sort of single mother types. And I've just offended every single mother on the planet. I do apologise. And we're at the playground, and she's shouting her kid, and her kid was Tamara, and she's there, and this is no word of a lie, yeah. And she's shouting Tamara. Tamara, and me and my friend literally simultaneously broke out, "We love you, Tamara, you're only a day." And she looked at us like we were filth. Apologies for the singer, that was a true story.
Some people just have no sense of humor. Yeah.
No, she's probably never seen the film, to be honest. true story that, so there you go. Want to tell the grandchildren. Right, okay. What shall we do now? Should we?
I'm excited.
We should. Okay, I'm going to click the buttons and see if they're there. Or see if AT&T are willing. Are we there, guys?
I'm here.
We're here.
Hello.
Yay.
Hello.
Yay. With apologies for my... is it Tamara?
Tamara, like camera.
Tamara, that kind of kills the joke, really, doesn't it? But.
Yeah. But you know what? It's okay because I sing that to her all the time. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
And then you want to hear the cursing that ensues, yes.
And Hey,
and I call
really,
him Alice
really
Patino. When he does that,
that
he sings that to me, and I call him Alistair Crotch for the rest of the day. And, you know,
oh,
get our work done that way.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet the long winter evenings fly by, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They do. Yeah.
I was gonna give
fun.
You my condolences on your on that zit on your back. I hope you're all right.
Yeah.
Gross.
I was absolutely picking at it, and then you know you feel that sort of it's wet, and my fingers were literally covered in blood. And oh, for goodness' sake!
Right, right, yeah.
What is going on? What is going on? It's funny. I seeing as though you asked, I've had a you know sometimes when you know you've got your finger up your nose and you pick one out.
Right.
Just blood, literally. I now have this problem where my nostril gets blocked up. And if I try to shift it, it bleeds. So what do you do? You know, I literally have not been able to breathe out of one side of my nose for most of this week. Because I didn't pick it. Because if I pick it, it's going to bleed again. And how long, I've Googled it. How long do you leave it before you can pick the scab off safely without bleeding everywhere?
I don't know. Are you filing your nails? I mean, that would help. I keep mine nice and short. And I can pick my nose like all day, and nothing happens.
Well, I don't know. Every now and then, I must maybe just catch it with a fingernail or something, and the thing is, I don't realise, and I'm sat there, and suddenly there's this drip down my. Oh, what is that? Oh, not again! And the kids look at my little girl looks at me like, Dad, it just, you know, seriously. Seriously, she can't wait to get me in a home, to be honest. I think she's planning it now. To be honest.
These things never happen to me, but oh my God, I'm hurting right now.
The worst is when you have blood on your fingers and you don't know why. I was thinking of that when you were saying you were picking at that zit on your back. Have you ever just been like, oh my God, there's blood on my fingers? Why? Why?
Oh my God, I did. I had that
last week.
I was washing the dishes, and I must have cut myself on the knife, but I didn't even know it. A little while later, I'm in my room, and I'm typing away, and all of a sudden, my finger, like, slips really weird on the keyboard. I'm like, what the hell is that? I look down, there's blood all over the place.
Yep, welcome to my world. Yep.
He's always bleeding. I watch him on Skype all day long bleeding and picking his nose. It's a lot of fun.
True.
Maybe you should invest in Netflix or something. That's got to be more entertaining. Surely, it's got to be more entertaining than that. Shall I watch Netflix?
Yeah.
Netflix and chill? No, I'm going to watch Alistair picking his nose because that's fun. And because there's always that excitement as is he going to make it bleed? Is he going to be a bleeder? He's got a good one. You know, and then there's always
he's wiping it on the cat.
I had a friend many, many years ago, and he never had a handkerchief or a tissue or anything. He actually trained his dogs to eat them. He would pick a big bogey out.
And he would
feed it, he would sit there and feed it to his dog, and oh no.
Oh, God.
That's horrible. That's what the chair is for.
But then again, you know, I had a dog, my boxer dog, sadly passed away now, but he used to eat his own crap. He used to poo in the house, and then rather thoughtfully he'd eat it, and then he'd come running up to you for a kiss, and he'd have poo all around his mouth. He's like, he'll be what boxers are like anyway. He'd slobbery chops with poo all over
him. This is why I prefer cats. They don't do this.
Yeah.
Cats sit and lick their asses all day, to be honest, and then they come and
rub the face.
No, Tamara, there's nothing clean about licking your own backside. I mean, not in the really.
I have them on my head all night long. I don't know.
Well, and you know, it's funny. They say that. Yeah, I read an article a while ago saying that. I mean, to be fair, a dog's saliva is mildly antiseptic. And somebody's saying if your kid cuts themselves or something, just get the dog to lick it clean. No.
No,
he's had his tongue up his bloody ring piece. Don't get them licking the kids' wounds. just stung.
I like a nice prickly cat tongue. You know, they're dry and they feel really good if you have an itch. You know, if a cat comes up and starts licking your back, you really enjoy it.
Well, and from what I understand, too, the, you know, cats, dogs, their bacteria is species specific. So it just dies anyway. At least that's what
Except for the crap, yeah.
Yeah.
It depends what they've been eating, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And this really is an educational show. You know, where else can you hear this?
I'm seriously thinking of changing our category to education rather than entertainment because people do learn a lot from this show. They really do.
The reading in my bathroom right now is the Encyclopedia of Bodily Fluids. So, yeah, I can use some finders.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow.
Yes. Fantastic. What a great read. I would love to read that.
It is.
I didn't know there was.
I've read it before.
I would buy that book.
I know I did. Book. I was at a store for a signing and was waiting for the signing to begin, and I found it, and I bought it and kept it on the table right next to where I was signing.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah. And show the real
Fantastic.
Me.
Yeah. Well, funnily, the last thing I actually read, my last toilet read, and it took me probably about a good year, was the full autobiography of Margaret Thatcher, which is in two big fat volumes, like the pre-Downing Street and then the Downing Street years, two big fat volumes. And they sat by the toilet, you know, faithfully for a year.
Wow.
But I got through them. They're a very good read, actually. Very good read, I have to say.
You have great stick-to-itiveness.
it's because I'm a Yorkshire man. It's like I bloody well bought this book. I'm going to finish it. You know, it's the same way I have never walked out of a movie ever. You know, no matter how bad I've sat through some shite, I have to say. You know, because I've paid to be there. I'm going to sit till the end of the credits, and I do watch
What's
the credits.
What's the worst one? What's the worst one you've ever seen?
They did superhero, another superhero movie, or they did one of those, and it was like
it was supposed to be like Scary Movie and Airplane and all that, but it was really, really dreadful.
It was, and all they'd done was just parody different. I mean, some of the parodies were good. They parodied the War of the Worlds, the Tom Cruise one. And it was really well done, but it wasn't funny.
Well, that was scary.
Really, it was just terrible. No, it was, I forget what it was called. It was something like
I watched that again.
Epic movie.
I turned that off, yeah.
Terrible. I went to see it with our eldest, actually. I mean, he was only about 12 at the time, and we sat through that crap. It was awful.
Oh.
But I paid for it. He was fed up. No, we paid. We're going to sit through it.
That was horrible.
And
Alistair will tell you, I love those crappy movies, and that one was unredeemable.
I mean, I like a good, you know, cheesy movie that's so bad it's good, but that was so bad it was bad. I mean, it was just no redeeming features at all.
I remember going to see that, what is it, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo. I hated that.
I love that movie.
No, I hated
that movie
it.
Did you see the sequel?
Yeah, it was funny. But...
I love it.
See, that was funny.
Yeah.
That was good.
You just have better taste than the rest of us, Christina.
Probably.
Yeah. I just watched all five scary movies that I happen to own. I pretty much OD'd on them, but they have their moments.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I watched Plan 9 from Outer Space the other night. That was so bad, it was bad.
That is an awesome movie. Awesome. Yeah, funny enough, I watched Ed Wood, a month or so back, because I haven't seen it for a while.
Uh-huh.
What a brilliantly bad guy. I mean, Johnny Depp did a really good job in the movie, but yeah, Plan 9 was just so appalling. It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes it a classic. But like I say, epic movie.
That's
hopefully,
true.
It will be just fade into obscurity and never be seen again.
I turned the epic movie off. I will never watch that one.
No.
So embarrassing. If it offends me and makes me go, you know, it's meant for 5 and under because I pretty much like 10-year-old. Movies, you know, the movies for 10-year-olds, you know, lots of scat humor.
I think your average 10-year-old will be probably bored with it. Yeah,
Ooh, we have
that's the thing.
We have to talk about Gerald's Game, because I know that was a favorite of Alistair's, of Stephen King's. And, you know, I think we've all now seen the movie, that, you know, and I thought it was amazing. Yeah. So.
Yes, it was very, very well. Alistair, what did you think, sir? Did you like it?
I loved it. I read the book. I've read the book twice, both times. Really loved it. I know a lot of people. It's very divisive. A lot of people don't like it. I think it's fantastic. When it came out, the movie It, everybody was really excited about that, and I was excited too. But secretly, I was really excited for Gerald's Game, and every time I was like, I'm really excited for Gerald's Game, I was like, yeah, but It, you know. We went and saw It, and it was good. I liked it. It was a good movie. But Gerald's Game, I really liked. I watched it three times. It was just like,
oh, wow,
over.
Yeah.
Like, this is good. Yeah. I love it.
I was a huge fan of the book. I really did. It creeped me out so much.
Yes.
And it was just that guy in the corner, you know, in
exactly.
the movie. Yes. Oh, God, that was so scary. It really was, and I loved it. I read the book a couple of times, so I was so excited, and I really, there was a part of me that was like, oh, this is, you know, but most of the time I spend my time when it's a movie that, you know, was a book, going, oh, my God, they didn't do it like that in the book. And that
yeah,
was
but
different.
This was dead on.
And it really was.
It was very faithful to the book, yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing, you know, the one part where, you know, she, in the book, she kicks him, and that's how he falls, you know, but it was such a small thing. It didn't even bother me that they, you know, I didn't spend my time going, that's not how they did it. So, no, I was really impressed.
Yeah.
I really was.
Oh, yeah, it was. I was totally expecting, because I don't get scared, you know, very easy at all by, you know, any kind of fiction. I was expecting, but the space cowboy in the book scared the hell out of me, and I was totally expecting it to just be really bad in the movie, and it wasn't. It was actually really creepy. It was creepy.
No,
yeah,
I think
it was,
other difference for me was that in the book he was just in the. I mean, she really couldn't tell if it was just. You know, the shadows or not, right? I mean, I don't remember.
Yeah,
him.
they spent a lot more time. Yeah. He spent a lot more time in the book, really
just
looking at it,
in
going,
the shadows,
"What is that? Is that real? Is that?"
Yeah,
yeah, and that was a lot of the intensity, and
mm-hmm.
it moved really fast in the movie, but I really liked it still.
I did too.
I think it's probably one of the better Stephen King. Adaptations. Oh,
yeah,
who's watching Mr. Mercedes? I know I
just finished the book, but I haven't watched it.
I'm on.
Found out that it's even that there's such a thing.
Yeah, I
mean, what's it on?
I can't remember. It's an AT&T original. I mean, we're with AT&T, so it'll be on some AT&T channel. But I must have find it. But it is, I mean, it's a temper. I'm on episode, I'm halfway through, literally, I just finished episode 5. And it is really, really good. It is pretty damn faithful to the book. If you like the book, Alistair, you will love it.
Yeah,
the characters
like
are great.
Yeah.
Because they're doing it over, in effect, 10 hours, you know, I mean, the characters are very well developed. The Bill Hodges guy is absolutely spot on. Yeah, I would recommend it. It's really, really good. Really good.
He's had a hell of a year this year, right?
Yeah.
Good old Stephen King.
Yeah.
This is like,
old
I mean,
Stevie
what is
boy,
this,
yeah.
like 4 or 5, at, you know, things that they've done for, I mean, there was The Dark Tower, It, Gerald's Game, Mr. Mercedes, isn't there The Mist or something? I don't even know.
The Mist,
they're doing that again, yeah.
The Mist was, again, they serialized that. There was no creatures in it, so I got bored pretty quickly. I heard rumors that they're remaking Firestarter, and there is a rumor as well that they might be having another go at Pet Sematary. And I really, they should leave those alone. I mean, they're good, rooted in the 80s movies that worked.
I agree.
They still work. I watched Firestarter again recently. And it's very well done. You know, I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and
it's
Pet Sematary. I mean,
book.
How could you? I don't know that they could really do a better job with Pet Sematary. It was that's another one, the really faithful adaptation, really
oh,
you know, close to the book. Yeah.
Now, I guess if they wanted to redo a Firestarter, if they went more towards, like, the, oh, God, I don't even remember what it was called, the, you know, the experiment thingy. If they talked more about
the shop.
The
shop pops up in King's Box a couple of times. There's more of that in the... I mean, it was... I think it's probably one of... I think After Salem's Lot, probably one of my favorite King books was Fire. Great, great book.
Yeah.
Incredibly
well
written
book. I'd like to see that as a movie. Yeah. That would make a good movie. They should do that. I didn't like the miniseries very well because David Soul creeps me out.
Did you see the remake with Rob Lowe?
No, I didn't know there was a remake.
They remade again. They did a two-parter with Rob Lowe, and it was all right. But I really enjoyed the original. You know, the original. Yeah, as a movie, I thought. But you know, it's been done. Don't just make something new, for God's sake. You know, quit making rehash. Really?
Who read Bag of Bones? Did you guys read Bag of Bones?
Yes.
It's been a long time though.
No, they made that into a mini series or something rather, and I never finished it, but I will say that I started watching, and I'm going to say within the first 10-15 minutes, I had the worst jump scare of my entire life.
Oh, really?
When that thing came under from underneath the bed, I almost died. Like, really. I jump a lot. I do, but this was
almost
different.
Died.
I screamed, and I've never done that before. And I said I wasn't going to watch it alone, so I turned it off. And the book wasn't even scary, so I don't understand.
I barely remember the book.
For me, it was one of the throwaway King books, like Desperation was another one. It was just like, this is just, he's phoned this in, you know.
I liked it. I did.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? Be honest.
I would,
Easily pleased.
I am. I get done with anything, and I'm like, oh, my God, that was my favorite ever. And so I am easily pleased.
Yes, you are.
I don't think that's a bad thing in life, though. There could be worse things than being easily pleased, right?
I just watched Dead Zone again. Have you seen that lately? It is so prescient.
What a great, great movie. What, the movie or the series? The movie?
The movie. I did another one. Series.
Right?
They did make a TV series of it,
For as busy as he is all the time, he knows a lot about TV and world events. Mm-hmm. Do you work, James? Do you ever work? What do you do?
I'm a writer. It's my job to know all this shit, you know?
I don't even have regular TV. I have Netflix and Amazon Prime, and I don't watch the news or anything because it's too stressful. I'd rather live in my book.
I like to know what's going on. It comes, you know, with you know, when I'm writing, you know, I mean, a lot of people say, you know, the sort of the details that I put in, where do you think all that comes from? You know, and you can just stick a one-line detail in that can root your reader exactly at the right time. I mean, King uses music a lot. He will throw in a music reference and suddenly, boom, you know, you're there.
Yeah.
You remember where you heard that and what was going on. And, you know, it's a very, very clever way to do that. I like movies. I like, you know, I like to watch TV, like movies. It's funny. I mean, many, many years ago, we made I was sort of into making short movie, award winning, I have to say. And I was meeting this guy, and he was wanting to be an actor. And the most bizarre thing is, I never watch movies. And you want to be an actor, really? Funny enough, he moved to LA. He moved to LA and he ended up with the Dream Boys, funnily enough. So I guess he did well. He did well, bless him. But
it's gonna be like
you
want to be a writer but not reading ever.
Well, yeah, and you do.
Yeah.
You meet people like that all the time. I think it's baffling. It's like I've met many, many people. Oh, I want to be a writer. Oh, yeah, what do you like to read? Oh, I don't have time to read. All right.
So to quote Stephen King again, I mean, he said, if you don't have time to read, you don't have time to write. And it's learning your market. If you want to be, you know, my anybody who listens to the show, you know, knows my background is sales and marketing. And you know your product, you know your marketplace. You know, if you even now, I could give you a 2-hour lecture on batteries if you want, if you really, really want to. We'll do a show. We'll have to do a show all about batteries. The battery show, we'll call it.
I'd totally tune in. Totally.
Yeah. Exactly. It would be riveting. You would learn things about batteries that you never wanted to know ever. To be honest.
So we have the most fun with our little corners of the show. We have we have batteries.
Battery corner.
We had porn. What was the radiator porn and
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, it hit me with your fan belt.
Yeah. Oh,
steady
God.
On, family show.
Carburetor.
Yeah.
Also, don't get me started on car parts. I've had a bit of a bad experience with car parts just recently, and I'm going to move on swiftly from that because I can see how that could be misconstrued. So, hey, Tamara and Alistair, Tamara, no, don't correct me. It's my show.
My name.
Oh,
I just got yelled at.
Just pronounce his name. It's okay.
Do tell us more about Darling Girls, please.
Well,
you want to take it tomorrow?
I don't want to.
Screw you, Alistair. I'll make you do it. I wrote a book called Candle Bay some years ago, and I actually did it because I wanted to write a book. My editor was afraid it was too science fiction-y, and it wasn't, but he said if you do a vampire novel, you will. I had no interest in vampires. But, so I did it, and it takes place on the central coast of California, and it's about a family of vampires, the Darling family, who own a hotel, and there's a hotel on the Central Coast called the Madonna Inn that will make your eyes bleed because it's all magenta pink and baby blue, but they have theme rooms, caveman room and all that. So I made the Candle Bay Hotel have theme rooms, but without the colors and with dungeons and vampire and all kinds of things. But anyway, the Darlings, they run the hotel, and they're very elegant people, vampires, and they take sips from the guests, and they drink bottled wine and blood. And that story combined with Alistair's, The Crimson Corset, which, Alistair, you should tell them what that's about.
All right. So then fast forward to, 2015. I was working on a book called The Crimson Corset, and it takes place in a little California town called Crimson Cove. And it's about two factions of vampires. There's the good ones who are humane and they want, to coexist peacefully among the humans. And then there are the bad ones who want to, use humans as slaves and whatnot and what have you. And anyway, there becomes a point in the book where there's a big battle. And I realized that if my good vampires are to go against my bad vampires, there wasn't the right amount of number. I had more bad guys than good guys, mainly because bad guys are much more fun to write. So
yeah.
I said to Tamara, I said, Crimson Cove is just, right up the way from Candle Bay, and we're kind of doing this whole cosmology anyway, meaning we tie all of our books together at various points. It's like a kind of a patchwork, like they're all kind of connected. And I said, why wouldn't my vampires know yours? And she said, that's true. And I said, hey, can I borrow some of your vampires? I just need them to come in. I just need them to come in, kick some ass, and then they can go back to Candle Bay. And she said, sure. So I brought in the Darlings and Julian Valentine, and they helped kick ass, and then they went home back to Candle Bay. So then what happened was we really liked blending these worlds together. So we thought, since we're writing books together anyway, why don't we write a full-on collaboration? Candle Bay is a Tamara Thorne book. The Crimson Corset is an Alistair Cross book. Why don't we do a third book, a sequel, so to speak, of both of these books that's a Thorne and Cross book, since we do so many Thorne and Cross books anyway. So Darling Girls continues the story of not only the darlings and the valentines of Candle Bay, but also of several of my vampires, like Michael and Winter and China from the Crimson Corset, and they're going on a road trip to, this is where it gets really fun, the town of Eternity, the town of Eternity, which is also a Tamara Thorne book, Eternity, which is like this creepy little mystical town where all kinds of crazy, paranormal, supernatural things happen.
It's based on that Shasta lore, yeah.
Yeah, you've got like, you know, Jim Morrison walking around, Amelia Earhart is the male... The postmistress.
Ambrose Bierce is the mayor. Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. I like that.
Yeah, so all these people who have gone
missing
and nobody knows where they went. Yeah, and this is all in Eternity, in the book Eternity and in the town Eternity. So we brought all our vampires to Eternity for a big vampire kind of family reunion. It's kind of like a Burning Man, but it's called Biting Man for vampires.
Yeah.
And they're, of course, being chased by a psychotic would-be or wannabe vampire slayer. I guess he's not a wannabe. He really does slay vampires, but he's just despicable. So there's a lot going. There's a lot going on, but it's so. Darling Girls is, long story short, too late. Darling Girls is a continuation of Candle Bay and the Crimson Corset.
Fantastic.
I was going to
ask some very probing questions there, but I think we need to take a break now. So
I shall save my
that's probing till later. Sorry, I'm going to be quiet now. I'm in trouble now. I'll probe you later, guys. Okay.
He has to take a break. That's all. That's what it is.
just don't. I really do need a wee, to be honest. There you go.
Okay, yeah, normally we take a break about halfway through the show, and we play a song and stuff, and then we come back. So don't go anywhere, okay?
Okay.
We'll be here.
Okie dokie. Right, I'm good. Okay, we'll go into the song, and we'll do commercials later, shall we?
Okay, sounds good.
We'll do that. Okay. Wee-wee time.
Working all day and the sun don't shine, trying to get by, and I'm just killing time. I feel the rain fall the whole night through, far away from you. California blue, dreaming all alone, nothing else to do. California blue, every day I pray I'll be on my way, saving love for you. California blue. One sunny day I'll get back again. Somehow, some way, but I don't know when. California blue, California blue. Living my life with you on my mind, thinking of things that I left far behind. It's been so long doing all I can do to get back to you. Nothing else.
Welcome back to part two.
Does anybody ever really pee that long? I don't think they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do
okay.
It my age, darling. Sorry, we can edit that out in post. All right. So hey, welcome back to part. What is it? Part. Are we still on part two? That's the one. Yes, we're here with Alistair and Tamara.
Tamara, it's Tamara. I can't.
What did I say earlier? Do not. I shall dummy you. I bloody well will. I've done it before. And I'll do it again. Think on. Look sharp. Right. Let's have. We've got Becky the reviewer waiting in the wings. Becky, how are you this evening?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh come on. You've been. You should be scared.
You're crackling, James. You're crackling.
Yeah, you sound
like
well,
I always do. I was over to Becky. Review something.
Okay, well, last week we were talking about beautiful tragedies.
Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, Lord. Last week we were talking about beautiful tragedies, and I was going to read a couple of poems that I really, 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 really liked out of the book.
Yay.
The first one is called The Days Have Passed, and it's by Dusty Davis. Too many days have passed me by. I have nothing left except the tears I cry. Now I'm alone and don't know why. Nobody is here to tell goodbye. I don't know what I'm going to do. Sick of this life I'm going through. Too many days have passed me by. I'm all alone except for the tears I cry. I really, really like that.
Yeah. You know,
he's a really good writer.
You know what I noticed, a theme, which I thought was pretty, I noticed this because, you know, I was putting the book together and stuff, and it seemed like a lot of the women writers, their poems were all about revenge, you know, and stuff like that. And most of the guys' poems were like some kind of, you know, sadness about, you know, the girl leaving or something. And I just,
oh, no.
I find that funny that, you know, the women are all like, revenge and kill the guy, and the guys are all like, we missed the girl, you know.
So. Mine wasn't revenge.
I know, and not all mine were either. But
most of them were, yeah, you're right. I didn't
know that too. Okay, so what else are you going to read for us?
The next one's called Remnants. Seems you took a piece here and you took a piece there, but I didn't much care, I had plenty to share. Just a morsel you'd snatch, then a smidgen you'd take, but soon hunks you'd hack off till I started to ache. Far too trusting I was, far too naive it seems, just a fool and no more, still believing in dreams. I thought you were the one, so I followed my heart, and I stayed in that place while you carved me apart. Like a statue I stood while you chiseled away, with a thought in my head there might come a day. But it never came round, not that day I looked for. So just remnants I am, only that and no more.
Oh, I like that. That was nice.
Me too. Now, I mean,
there were so many.
The man can write.
Well, you know, I mean,
that was Lemmy Rushmore, but he's really talented. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you hearing me right? I'm not demonic anymore.
Yes.
No, you're good.
Good. You know what I liked about both of those is that they rhyme.
Yes.
You know,
poem-y,
like a proper
the
poem.
They're poemy.
They are poemy enough because they rhyme. They're poemy. Yes.
You know,
so
I have one more. I have one more.
Does
let me read it real quick.
Becky, does it rhyme? Does it?
Listen.
It doesn't rhyme, don't bother. Seriously.
Look here now.
You know,
right.
If you're going to write a poem, make it rhyme.
This is by Alistair Cross.
Ooh. Oh, well, it'll be good then, as long as it rhymes.
It is. I loved. Okay, go ahead. I want to hear.
This is called Footsteps. I know you heard me on the stairs. I know you heard me call. I know you heard me say goodnight, but you never looked up at all. I know you heard the closing door and my footsteps down the hall, but you didn't say a word to me, and that somehow said it all.
I loved that. I did. Oh,
I did,
my gosh,
too.
I loved that one. And it's short, but it is just, it gave me chills the first time I read it. I absolutely loved that one. Yeah.
I was like,
and it rhymes, which was nice.
And it rhymes.
Yes, it rhymes.
It rhymed.
You know,
proper
the three that I picked, all rhymes, yeah.
Good. I'm glad you did. Otherwise, I'd have dummied you, to be honest. I mean, you know.
Well, you think she has all the power? I'm going to learn these controls. I'm going to learn these controls. And I'm going to dummy him one time.
What I don't get is it's haiku stuff, yeah? I mean, what's that?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you just started reading and it's finished. And what's the point? I mean...
I don't get them either, but, you know.
What's haiku supposed to be? I mean, I honestly string away. I mean, what's the point? What are they about? Somebody please explain it to me. I really want to know.
Being the
I'll have to look it up.
supposed poet, expert, I should know the answer to that. And I don't.
Yeah. No.
So, I don't get them either, and I've never been able to really write one. But some of them are just really beautiful. They really are, and so I don't know. We have a couple of them in Beautiful Tragedies as well. All different kinds of poems, and I'm really excited about it. And the book is releasing tomorrow. We have a release party on Facebook, so everybody who's listening,
yes,
they better be there. We're going to have games and fun stuff and prizes, and yay, everybody has to come. So
all kinds of fun stuff. And James will probably talk about poo.
Right.
I always talk about poo. Always.
I know, and Xtina and I were making bets on how long it would take you to say poo, and I'm proud to say that I was the closest. I said 20 minutes, and it took you about 23.
I said 12 minutes. I did.
There you go. I hate to
But he wasn't talking about poo, but he was talking about bodily functions, so I don't know. I think I might win.
He said poo.
Well, I thank you, Becky, for reviewing Beautiful Tragedies, reading those poems for us, and we're going to have to say goodbye because I can't wait to get back to Alistair and Tamara.
I know.
We have a reading coming up and everything, so I will...
Oh, it's all going on. Becky, it's been an absolute pleasure, and you read the poems beautifully. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You did them justice.
Awesome.
Thank you, and we will speak to you probably next week. Next week, indeed. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. So, okay, we've got Tamara. I'm going to have to stop doing that. She's going to shout at me. What is it again? Tamara.
Tamara. Just
Tamara.
Think of that.
I'll go with that. Okay. And, but a quick shout out to Jerry R. Gray, who is listening tonight. Jerry is a fan of the show, and she has a new book out with Hellbound Books later this month, The Amnesia Girl, which is one hell of a read. I've read it, obviously. Hell of a read. It is awesome. It is dark humor. It is bizarro. It is just
bizarro.
So off the wall. It is, well, no, it's bizarro in so much as it is so off the wall. It's, you know, it's off, it's not wallpaper, but it is. That was a bad analogy, but no, you've got to read it. You really have to read this book because it drags you in and carries you along on this bizarre odyssey, and it is a tremendous read.
You have never steered me wrong before in your recommendation, so I definitely will have to pick it up.
Oh, you must. It is I know the first time I read it was like, well, this is just something. You know, what attracts me is something different, and it was just like, wow, you just got me in, and love that book. So that'll be out later this month. So buy the book, people. All right, it's not optional. Buy it. So okay, we have Alistair and Tamara. Did I do good? No, I'm not going to call you T. No, that's
Alistair
not on my show.
Okay.
He knows you. I wouldn't be so familiar. I couldn't be. But So I was going to ask. Obviously, you guys collaborate. I mean, you collaborate a fair bit. How do you find that? I don't know if I could really collaborate on such a level with someone. How do you iron out your differences?
We both have no intentions of ever collaborating with anyone ever after past experiences. And we got to know each other. And all of a sudden, I heard myself say, "Would you like to collaborate?" Because I'm the old one, you know. So it was my place to ask. And we spend every day on Skype in the cloud together, literally writing together. We have a great time because we take our breaks together and we crack each other up. You tell them, Alistair.
It's it's funny because people ask us that all the time, you know, and the answer is I don't know. I wouldn't recommend it, and not because it's a bad thing for us. It works for us, but I think that that's really, really rare. I mean, there are some serious collaboration horror stories out there, and I can understand why. I mean, you have to be on the same page. You have to have the same vision. You have to have the same goals. You have to have the same work ethics. You have to have, you know, and then you have to be personally compatible on top of it. The same writing sensibilities, the same schedule, the same, I mean, even if you were writing it in a way that was like, I'll write a chapter and then you write a chapter and then I'll write a chapter and then you write a chapter, which we don't do. We write it all together. But even if you were doing it that way, you still have to have similar enough sensibilities that it gels together, because you don't want anybody, and this is one thing that I'm really proud of, is people are always saying, you know, I could never tell who wrote what, which of you wrote what part. And the fact of the matter is oftentimes we don't know either, and that's a good sign, because I think we've all read collaborations where it's like, well, this is obviously this guy, and this one's this guy, and this one's a better writer than this one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we've all read those books.
Yeah, and when the day is over, we end up texting half the night, because we're usually brainstorming or just being silly. And, you know, we relax together and we work together. Sometimes we watch movies together even though we're not in the same state. We put the same movie on and either Skype or text rude comments through the whole thing. It's great.
But
mostly brainstorming is great.
I really think that in this case, at the risk of sounding maybe a little bit cheesy or corny, it was just meant to be. I mean, our voice just blends together, so it's just seamless, and it's not just seamless artistically, it's seamless, you know, personally.
And when one of us starts to say, I think we should change this word, the other one will say the word. It's the same way as we pick up our we call them text machines, our phones, before the text comes through. We're tied at the brain somehow. We don't understand it, but we really appreciate it.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
It really is.
Yeah, it's funny.
I've ever experienced.
I occasionally think it might be nice to collaborate with Xena, but she's always asleep, so we never get to see her. Sorry, that's
always.
Not right. No, that, not always. You're either asleep or drunk. Sorry, I should
have There's a little, you know, time in between the sleeping and drunkness, right around like 2 p.m.
But how long does it take to open a bottle of wine? Though, I mean, it's not long. Really.
I love you too, James. Okay, well, I am anxious to hear more of. Is the reading coming from Darling Girls? Is that what it's?
Yeah, okay. we had to find something that doesn't give things away, because there are big secrets, especially from Candle Bay, about what happened with the primary character and things. So we thought we'd tell you about one of our major villains. We already mentioned him, and from his mother's point of view. And this is called The Smell of Success. Lois Trinsky looked at the dirty clothes strewn across the floor of her son's room and sighed. The stink curdled her stomach. She held her breath and began gathering things up, shirts with yellow rings at the collar and armpits, socks so dirty they could have stood on their own, tidy-whitey streaked and stained with unspeakable things. And she didn't even know where to begin dealing with the rest of the mess. As far as she knew, there was nothing that could effectively remove the globs of chewing gum from the carpet, and nothing but a new paint job would cover the spots on the walls where he'd obviously been fingerplating in what looked like blood. She didn't even want to think about that. She kept her eyes lowered, ignoring the stacks of moldy dishes, the sea of comic books, many of which were stuck to the floor by some mysterious adhesive. Lois towed a moldy, half-eaten dill pickle. She didn't know where her son had gotten his slothful ways. Did I neglect him? Maybe it's because I was so busy working all those years. Or maybe if he'd had a father to guide him, he'd be a little more balanced. But Lois didn't really think it was any of those things. Her other two children were fine. Tina was an attorney, and Jacob was working on his doctorate. And they grew up in the same house. The simple truth was this. Norman was born without ambition or drive. The filth he lived in was just a symptom of his character. His idea of success was scoring tickets to Comic-Con. She tried for many years to get to the root of her son's problems and show him a more constructive way of life. Neil had been in therapy at least half a dozen times, and with each psychiatrist, hypnotherapist, family counselor, psychologist, herbal treatment specialist, and even several sessions of good old-fashioned wilderness therapy, he'd only grown to resent her more. And then there were the myriad diagnoses and pills that followed. Prozac when he was diagnosed as depressed, Xanax when one doctor diagnosed him with an anxiety disorder, Ritalin more than once when she was told her son had ADHD, lithium and Topamax on the multiple occasions when he was diagnosed as bipolar back when being bipolar was all the rage. She'd long ago given up involving him in sports of any kind. He simply wasn't interested, thinking perhaps she'd been gifted with one of those misunderstood musical geniuses she'd heard so much about. She'd gotten him piano lessons. Those didn't take, so she brought him a guitar and lessons, trumpet, clarinet, and even drums. Neil wasn't the least bit interested in any of them. Baseball bats, soccer balls, volleyballs, tennis rackets. They were all promptly ignored and shoved aside for video games, comic books, and television. There were only two things Lois had ever bought for her son that he'd taken any interest in, exercise equipment and his computer. He used both every day, all day, in fact, like some kind of religious practice. Aside from those, there was only one other thing Neil had any interest in besides girls, vampires. The vampire obsession began when he was about 12. Unlike his previous fixation with all things Star Wars, his preoccupation with the undead had never died. Even now, his walls were a hodgepodge of posters featuring the creatures in various states of defeat. Vampires with stakes in their hearts, vampires bursting into flames at the sight of silver crosses, vampires who'd been beheaded, vampires melting and smoldering as they were drenched in what Lois assumed was holy water. The ceiling was reserved for posters of Sarah Michelle Gellar as Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was his one true love. Sex, vampires, weight, television, comic books, and his computer. Beyond those, Lois's son was a non-entity. This filled her with sadness and, she hated to admit, shame. She couldn't help thinking he had some potential, that one day he'd find something that called to him, something worthwhile that would fulfill him and make him into a productive member of society. But at 32 years of age, the possibility of that happening was pretty slim. And she knew she did him no favors cleaning up for him. She tried to stop. Really, she had. She told herself over and over that if she didn't clean for him, he'd eventually be forced to take care of himself. The trouble was, that wasn't true. It had been nearly 6 weeks since she touched his laundry, made his bed, or tidied his room. And now it had gotten so bad that the smells, rotting food, sweaty bed sheets, soiled clothes and Neil's unwashed body had begun creeping upstairs and into the rest of the house. Resigned, Lois had struck a deal with her son. If he'd just go take a shower, she would start cleaning his room. He'd agreed and pried himself away from his computer, and here she was again. Lois sighed and left her son's bedroom, making her way toward the washing machine where she'd begin the first of what would undoubtedly be a dozen loads of laundry again. And that's our bad guy. From mom's point of view.
Stop there. That was awesome.
Awesome. Very beautifully read as well, mom. Beautifully read.
And I wanted another shout out to Buffy. I love Buffy. I love vampires. I mean, you know, if we have to talk vampires, then we have to know what is your favorite vampire, you know, or vampire
mine?
Movie, or yeah, both of you. Yeah,
mine would be Dark Shadows, and I honestly love the Johnny Depp version of Dark Shadows with him as Barnabas. But Dark Shadows was a huge influence on me, so that one.
Awesome. What about you, Alistair?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Edward Cullen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to...
Buckley! Yay!
I was shocked.
No, I kind of like them all. I really do. I really like the Lost Boys. Those guys were fun. Mm. Of course, Dracula. You can't beat Dracula. I'm pretty open-minded for the most part about vampires. I pretty much like them all.
I'm a huge Buffy fan.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I'm rewatching the show for probably the 100th time right now. And if anybody is really crazy familiar with the show, and do you remember the musical in season 6?
Oh, wasn't that great? Oh, I love that.
I can sing all of those songs, and the bad thing is I used to play the sound. I had the soundtrack. That's so corny. I know. I used to play it so much.
No.
My kids knew the songs.
And besides the music, isn't the writing spectacular? It just sparkles, the dialogue.
Oh, God. It was so perfect. It really was. I mean, when I talk about this to people and they look at me like, you are such a nerd. But I'm like, no, you have no idea
how
brilliant this episode was.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah.
And how about Hush, the one with no words?
I just finished watching that one recently. That's an amazing one. I love
that
one.
That's a spooky one.
The gentlemen, they were so creepy. They really were.
Yeah.
We could spend a whole show just talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That would be so
much fun. One more episode. The one where it's a Halloween one, and it's where they out Giles as, you know, a badass, and Buffy gets dressed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everybody becomes their costumes. Oh, I love that one.
Wait. Oh, yeah, I think I was mixing them up, though, because Giles is a badass, that was Band Candy. That was pretty fun. You know, when they all started reverting back to being kids because they're eating those, you know.
That's a different episode. I love that, yeah.
Yeah, they're so...
big Buffy fan here.
I love Buffy.
Yeah, you got to see Neil Trinsky's tattoo of Buffy. It rises from his crotch, and she's got her hand up like there's a stake in it, but... she only has a stake in it when he gets an erection.
That's what we gave our bad guy, because he's our bad guy in this. That's, we kind of wanted to pay, you know, homage to,
nice,
you know, Buffy. So we gave him this really over-the-top, you know, Buffy obsession, and we gave him a tattoo coming right out of his bush.
So cool and weird.
Poor Buffy.
Should find somebody to draw this so we can have a good visual. Yes.
Seriously.
That should have been our cover. No.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he is a major part of it, but he's...
he is.
There's a lot more going on than just him, but he's just one of the threads. He's just one of the threads in the story, and he's just out. He just wants to kill him. He hates him. He's like prejudice against vampires. He's got some sort of prejudice against them. He's a very hateful, messed up, I want to say young man, but as we said, he's 32, so he's
still young.
He's just kind of a sick dude.
there are a couple main villains, and he is one of them. Because he gets to be in the climax that we're just writing now.
Yeah.
We love writing climaxes.
Yeah,
they pound and pulse.
Yes, I know. But yeah, the point is that you know, his obsession with Buffy is it's a good thing. We're fans of that. And a lot of people are. They love the writing.
Mm-hmm.
Joss Whedon is amazing. He really is. I loved everything he did. I loved Angel was amazing, and Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
I even liked Firefly. You know, my mom was trying to get me to watch the show forever, and I was like, you know, I don't really care for westerns. I don't really care for sci-fi. So but then I started watching, and I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. I like both. So
I wasn't. Yeah, this is. Such such a fun show tonight. We have two segments. We have 11 questions and our embarrassing story. And Alistair's going to tell us an embarrassing story. So that means Tamara can start with 11 questions.
Actually, we're going to tell an embarrassing story that involves both of us.
Ooh, awesome.
Oh, that sounds good. Shall we? Are we going to do the embarrassing story first then?
Sure. Let's do that.
Okay, let's do that.
Hi, I'm Patty, and I'm Thelma.
Okay.
What is your most embarrassing story?
Get smoke out of my face. you want to tell it, Alistair?
You go ahead. I'll add in as we go. But this is actually better from your point of view because you're the one that really got the worst
the
end of it.
The full brunt of the yes, I did get the worst of it. We several years ago, the first time we ever met, we went to a cabin that I was invited to investigate. That's in Gold Country. It was haunted allegedly, and we had quite a time there. It was scary, and one of the first nights before we got really spooked, we were hearing noises in the hall near the bathroom, and we had the door shut to the hall. We had a fire going. It was cold, and we both needed to pee. And the trouble was, we spooked ourselves about the noises we were hearing in the hall. Neither one of us wanted to go to the bathroom. So we decided we'd go pee outside. And so...
it's a wee-wee story. I love it.
Of course it is. So Alistair went... Oh, and it wasn't even full dark yet. You could see. So it wasn't too bad going outside. It was darker in the cabin, I think, than it was outside. Anyway, so Alistair goes to one side of the cabin, and I go to the other, because we're not that kind of collaborators, right? And so I finish, and I figure, Alistair's got to be done, because guys are quick, usually. And so I come walking around, and he's facing away from me, and I get pretty close to him before I realize, oh, my God, he's still peeing. So I try to back up so he won't know that I saw him. And I tripped and fell on a pine cone. I landed on my butt. So Alistair hears this, and he whips around midstream. And suffice to say, we took a little evening trip down to the camping store for showers. Yes, we really got to know each other that night.
Yes, we did.
Awesome.
Yes.
I love that story.
See why it had to be from your point of view, because you know you got the worst of it. That was like you got to see it. You got to
horrible.
For me, I was just like, what the hell
is
that?
I peed on her. That would have sounded terrible. Yeah. And unlike Trump, that's our only experience with golden showers.
You know, I don't think anybody else can probably ever say that. I was peed on by Alistair Cross. That can't be a t-shirt.
It was just a little tiny bit.
Yeah, it was not a flash, so hard. But we still didn't want to go in the bathroom. We went in the kitchen, but the water was ice cold because there was no heat. And so we drove down to the camping store, and I took a shower. I think he did too because we both needed one anyway.
As a guy, we've all peed on somebody at some point.
Yeah, even if it's your own feet, right?
Well, and it's so stupid because it scared the hell out. I was so edgy anyway. I like kind of jumped, turned.
Excellent.
Yeah.
and I've been ghost hunting for like 30 years, and I'm not very easily scared. Especially if I have an audience, I get really ballsy. And so, you know, but we had acted like 12-year-olds, scaring ourselves silly on purpose in that cabin. So we didn't even want to go in the hall. And so I got peed on.
So you've been ghost. I mean, have you ever found one? Have you ever seen something that irrefutable proof to you that it is a ghost?
Well, I would never define it as a ghost. I would define it as an anomaly. And there's a Alistair, you put that newspaper article up, didn't you?
There's Twitter and whatnot.
Yeah, I'll stick it on Facebook again or Twitter tomorrow. It's thing I did a few years ago for a bunch of papers in LA, and the best one that ever happened is this little taco stand in Arcadia, California, and my husband and I had come down from the Central Coast where I'd been researching, and we wanted a burrito at Tacolita, so we drove all the way there. It was like 3 in the afternoon. We didn't care. It was too good. We got there, and there's only one entrance in the front, and then there's an entrance in the back with a little gate around it to the bathrooms, and we really had to pee. And these are real tiny, like airplane bathrooms. Boy, everything is about pee, isn't it?
Yeah.
We got out of the car, and there was this tall, very, very good posture, tall, slender, elderly man walking ahead of us. He had a full head of gray hair and a pale sweater on and several other details. And so we walk behind him, and he goes in the men's room. And there's no other exit. It's just a single, you know, toilet in there. So I go in the ladies' room. I'm back out in a minute because evidently I pee really fast.
Apparently.
And Robert, my husband, he's just kind of, the guy's not out yet. And so he's about to go in the ladies' room, but somebody, another man came and got in line, so he couldn't really do that. So we wait another minute or two, and it's like, where is this guy? So Robert goes up and knocks on the door. And there's no answer, and he looks at me like, oh, crap. And he tries the doorknob. It opens, and there's no light on. We saw the light in the bathroom when the guy went in. And there's nobody in there, not a soul. And after the article came out, I kept this to myself for years, but the article came out, and the newspaper was contacted, and it turned out an elderly woman and her daughter, she was his widow. He was one of the original owners. She showed me a picture, and I've got goosebumps just thinking about it. It was fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
And it was a happy thing. It felt nice. You know,
she still won't call it a ghost. She's still not convinced.
That's weird.
No, I think it was an image. We happened to be in the right spot at the right time to see something that happened many years ago. Something that probably happened a lot.
Well, that's
yeah.
I mean, is it like? Yeah. I mean, is it a ghost?
It
could be a blip in, you know, it's a sci-fi.
Well, it could
cliche.
Be a ghost
a
in the way the Navy
thing,
would
know.
Call it a ghost. Yeah.
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 It didn't turn around and talk to me. It wasn't anything thinking, but it was an impression, and I've seen a lot of those. That was just my favorite.
Well, funny enough, I was reading just something caught my eye today. I think it was on Facebook, oddly enough, about it's like 10 little sort of slips that people have experienced that they say, you know, proves time travel. And like people, you know, driving along. There's one guy, he was driving along with his family, and all of a sudden, you know, the road felt bumpier, and there was like a 1950s car with a 1950s dressed family in it. There's another guy just came out of the store, turned left, walked down, and suddenly it was like he'd gone back in time 50 years. You know, it was like back in the 1940s.
Uh-huh.
And it makes you think, what we perceive as a ghost is a slip in time, and suddenly momentarily. Think, and what you're seeing is that guy walking on that sidewalk. Because I remember, in England, I lived not far from York, and obviously York is steeped in history. And I went on one of the ghost tours, and they say, you know, like in the towers and whatnot, they say when they have the sightings of the ghost, they're always sort of up to their knees. And they said because, you know, you don't see their feet because back in their time, the floors were lower. They had, you know, because they're built up and that. And so you were seeing them walking at the level at which they were at, like, you know, 1,000 years ago or something. So maybe there's something to it. Maybe it is just a slip in time.
The time slips are fascinating. I think that that happens occasionally. I think, Alistair, you saw something like that when you were a kid, didn't you?
I think that so, but I don't know what it was. But it was the only time I ever saw anything that in a sense wasn't there, and it was just a woman doing things that were out of context with her surroundings, like as in she was standing in the center of the room with nothing around her, and she looked like she was, you know, say putting dishes away or something, but there were no dishes, and it was just
and
odd.
Wasn't she a little higher or lower than she should have been?
I don't recall. I don't I don't know.
I might have added that in my own mind.
I think you did. Yeah, I don't remember there being anything. Yeah, I don't remember there being anything about that. It was just, and then it was just gone. She was just, it wasn't even like it, you know, disappeared. It just wasn't there. It was, but yeah,
yeah.
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't aware of me.
Wow.
Maybe there is something in there. There's definitely a novel in there for somebody. When you finish with your vampires, go to time slips. You know,
honestly, the time slips are my favorite. And but the movie The Others with Nicole Kidman was really
great movie.
That
yeah.
was fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Brilliant film. Yeah. Love that.
Was she the ghost?
Did you see the Time Traveler's Wife? I mean, that was a nice, quirky... Obviously, I know it's based on a book. I mean, that was quirky movie.
Yeah.
Again, great film. It was just one of those that made you think. You know, it wasn't going back in time and fighting dinosaurs. You know, it was just the guy kept slipping in and out of this woman's life throughout the years. And incredibly well done. Yeah.
I hate that we are just about out of time for our show. You guys have to both promise to come back. Promise to come back? Yeah, you said it. She can't back out now.
Legally binding.
You haven't asked these questions yet, so we did not.
Okay, so tell us where we can find you online.
All right, so...
Alistair's good at that.
The best place to find us everywhere is our websites. Mine is alistaircross.com and Tamara's is tamarathorne.com. We've been spending more time on Twitter lately, mainly because it seems to be less time-consuming and it seems to have a wider reach. So we've been hanging out quite a bit on Twitter, and you can find us on Twitter. My handle is @crossalistair, and Tamara's is @tamarathorne.
Awesome, and I have all your links put up on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to stalk them, they can do it there. And again, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And seriously,
yeah, thank
I cannot
you so much,
have
guys.
You guys. This is
so
much fun.
Our pleasure.
No, yeah, thank you guys. Thank you guys for having
us.
You guys are fun. I love coming on. It's great.
Yay!
Yeah. Awesome guest. Now, thank you so much. I'm gutted that it's time to go, but it is time to go, and it's time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, guys.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Bet there's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison. That's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.